You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Inside Carolina Postgame Podcast, sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Post game comes Dewey Burke. I'm your host, Tommy Ashley. Carolina basically runs it back. Same result, similar result as down in Miami. Wake Forest 98, UNC 76. No Tim Duncan on that court, no Chris Paul on that court for Wake Forest. But they did have Williams and LaRavia that put work on Carolina for to the tune of 54 points from the two of them. Dewey, let's try to make some sense if possible. What do you say?
I feel like we just had this conversation. I thought we actually got some decent looks in the first half, didn't make any of them, but our defense was abysmal. You know, an interesting part of looking at the team stats is they had 32 field goals, but only 11 assists. And it was those two guys just beating us one-on-one. And that little spurt by the kid who came back from the Achilles, making those threes right in a row. But those were off his own bounce. And, like, a lot of these baskets were unassisted. Like, just their guy looking at our guy and saying, you can't guard me and you're not gonna. And, you know, there's a manhood challenge layered into what I just said that I think – And Williams from the opening tip was chirping, talking to Leakey. Like, I didn't know who he was. I hadn't seen Wake. So I had to look up. I was like, is this dude from Winston or something? Like, what? Nope. He came from Oklahoma. He played with Brady. He was just chippy and had a lot to say and then backed it up. And we had no answer. Shot the ball terribly. And we only ended up with 11 turnovers. It felt like 25 because they got a basket off every one of them. But it feels like we just had this conversation after the Miami game.
Carolina shot 33% from the field, 27 of 81. If my math is right, they missed 54 shots. I think that's right. 6 of 28 from free throw line, or excuse me, from three-point line. They did out-rebound Wake. They had more second-chance points. But you're right. That number, normally we look at that assist number and say, well, they're not sharing the basketball. And that's not a good thing, especially the way Carolina normally plays. But to your point, Wake Forest just took them off the bounce, just wore them out individually. And, you know, LaRavia averaged 15 coming in. I think he had 16 or 18 going into half. He ends up with 31. And Williams, you're right. I thought they just came, and I agree with the manhood challenge type thing, quite frankly. I mean, when a guy talks to you, tells you what he's going to do, and then does it repeatedly on the basketball court, you got to either man up or get out of there. Carolina struggled mightily on the defensive end. We could talk about it ad nauseum. We've talked about it at least four times this season. But, Dewey, what's next? I mean, they've got Monday night, Wednesday night, and I believe next Saturday night, all in the Smith Center. What in the world is next for this team that seems to be spiraling downward pretty quickly?
I don't know. They got to find some toughness. They got to find some pride, find a way to be winners. I mean, I don't see winners out there. And it's not like an easy thing for me to say. Like, I always want to be in the corner of the program and everything, but I just don't see winning plays. I don't see winning attitudes. I don't see winners, you know, and that needs to change. I mean, they play fine when they're playing well and things are going good, but you know, adversity hits and we don't dig in. And so they got to find a way to win a game ugly. You know, where they're not making shots and they just dig it out of the dirt, and they'll learn something from that. They'll learn something from that about each other. And they haven't shown that. They, you know, so they've got, there's a lot of soul searching to do. And yeah, I really don't care what people's reaction is to my comments on these, but I'm telling you guys, this is not all Hubert. This is not all Hubert. He's got his hand in it, and he's not reaching them with what he's trying to get across, you know, but he, at least from me, is going to get the benefit of the doubt and deserves more time to figure out how he's going to coach and run this program. The players don't need more time to have heart. That's where I'm at.
Well, I think Hubert has a hand in it, but I also think folks need to look at the last 3 years and realize what went on, and what changed and what hasn't changed. They changed coaches. The results have been very similar with the same guys, the same core group of guys. So, I mean, you were on some teams that were competitive. You've been around basketball forever. You're a former Carolina guy, and I'm going to ask you point blank, what is it like to watch as a former guy that wore a jersey? I've asked you that before in good times. I'm going to ask you that now in bad times. It's got to be tough. We've seen Theo Pinson come out and make comments. I saw PJ Harrison had some comments. I've seen other guys. I'd love to hear Joel Berry's comments that are going on the ACC network as we do this podcast. But what's it like to see what was once a mighty thing struggling so mightily now?
Yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard. And it's because you look on the bench, like, I don't know any of these current players. I still feel bad for them and what this feels like, even though I was obviously just very critical of them and that they need to find some heart. But the hardest thing is to look at the staff and all the people over there that I'm so close to, including Hubert, but, you know, Hubert and Sean and Freddie and Jackie and Hoots, like, those guys are dying. And that is hard. That's the hardest part for me individually. They don't have enough in here for me right now. And that's where I'm at. They don't have the heart that they should. And that's easy for me to say. What does that even mean? What is that they should mean? That we believe our program holds itself to, and being a player there. And I was just a walk-on, right? I mean, I didn't play a lot, and I get that, but man, I cared a lot. And so did all the guys I played with. It was, I don't know. It didn't look like that.
Yeah, I don't really have much else to say, and I know you don't either. Carolina's got to figure it out, and I agree with you. I posted on Twitter, it's not a talent issue. It's an athleticism issue some, but it's more of an I versus we issue. And individually, they're not a very good sum of parts. And so the question is, what happens? Carolina's got 3 home games in a row, culminating with State next Saturday in the Smith Center. Last question before we do get out of here, because there's really no reason to keep banging it, is can it change, in your opinion? Can a player's mentality change? You've been around athletes all your life, and you are one. Is that a possibility for that just to change or click overnight? How does that happen? Or as somebody posted, it is what it is.
It's a great question. You know, I don't know, you know, what you're asking is, can there be like a seminal moment that happens, whether it's in a game or not, whether it's in the locker room or at practice or, so like, can there be this thing that shifts it? I don't know. I mean, that after you watch those last two games, it seems like that's very hard to envision. But there are really good people over there on the sideline that want this to work. And obviously Hubert and the staff are trying, or have come close to trying, just about everything. And, you know, maybe they'll try something that works, you know, that'll help get these kids to, I just play with more heart. I don't see that right now. I don't see them bleeding for it, you know, like I don't see that. And so, it's so easy to keep saying stuff like this, but like I played with guys, like it wouldn't matter what Coach Williams said. It didn't matter. It was irrelevant. You know, was he a great motivator and pull us together? And of course, all those things, but like, it didn't matter. Like they didn't care. It was like the personal pride part of it was such a factor that it didn't matter what your coaches said. Like the coaches were like just a part of the preparation process. But like when I step in between those lines, like I'm a different dude, and this is important to me, and I'm going to play like it. And I just don't see that right now. And it may be because they're feeling it, they're feeling the criticism, and they know they're not doing well. And so they're self-conscious or whatever, but this is the big leagues. So figure it out.
Absolutely. Figure it out. Look in the mirror. The mirror will tell you everything that you need to know. Dewey Burke, appreciate you taking the time, my friend.
Thanks, Tommy.
Johnny T-Shirt, thanks for being our sponsor. Inside Carolina listeners and readers, rate us, review, and subscribe. As always, be safe, take care. We'll talk again soon.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.